Greetings in the name of Jesus. This month, our little booklet is entitled, A Modern Look at Modesty. The following is a presentation on modesty from one of Brother John Clark's sermons. As elders, Brother Oliver Hazelton and myself agree it should be published. Whether or not we or some of you agree with all of his statements, we feel this subject has been vitally neglected. Brother John is personally known to us as a faithful and sincere brother. Our prayer is that you will receive it in the spirit and sincerity in which it is given. Now here is Brother Clark.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, David of old said, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." We're coming to you today from San Angelo, Texas, and we certainly feel a privilege and appreciation at coming to you today. Our lesson will be one that could be termed controversial. It is not our motive to be such, but many times in teaching and preaching the Word of God, it sadly becomes so. The title of the lesson is A Modern Look at Modesty. It seems that especially today, we have become lax and indifferent to what the Bible teaches on such things because of a lack of teaching concerning the subject. I don't know if teachers of local congregations just don't want to teach on these things, or if there is a general lack of knowledge as to what God wants in our lives. Circumstances are such in this age of the church that those who manufacture our clothing have accentuated the sexuality of the human body. And we as Christians have become indifferent regarding this very important aspect of Christian living. Circumstances have taken precedence over Scripture. For example, women wearing men's clothing, men wearing women's clothing. What is the truth concerning these matters? The wearing of bathing suits, shorts, and decent dress, is this a matter of conscience? How does this affect our influence as Christians? Can we as Christians do these things with moderation? These are questions that we hope to be able to answer with biblical clarity for the purpose of causing us all to become closer to God and to become influential to everyone we meet and to let our light shine in the world in which we live. There's one thing for sure. Immodesty causes men to sin. We must, therefore, come to an understanding as to the definition of the terms with which we are dealing. What is modest? According to Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, the definition is placing a moderate estimate on one's abilities or worth, observing the proprieties of dress and behavior, decent, limited in size, amount, or aim. The synonyms are chaste, humble, shy, unpretentious. The definition of modesty is, according to this dictionary, freedom from conceit or vanity, propriety in dress, speech, or conduct. Now, with this foundation laid, it would be proper to say that immodesty would lead men to sin. I hope that you have your Bibles handy for following along today, as we will examine several places that will guide us into all truth. Beloved, these things that we will be studying did not come from me. They come from the Word of God. Now let's turn to our first scripture. In Matthew 5, and verse 27, Jesus said, "You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Our master teacher, Jesus Christ, gives these admonitions. Don't lust after a woman, because it is the same as committing the physical act of adultery with her, even if she doesn't know it. Now this falls into the realm of a vicarious sin. This $20 word simply means experienced, or realized through imaginative or sympathetic participation in the experience of another. In other words, we have sinned with our mind. This is truly in keeping with the Bible, for Jesus said in Mark 7, verses 17 through 23, "After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. 'Are you so dull?' he said. 'Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but in his stomach, and then out of his body.' In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, 'What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. These passages have some very interesting points within them. First, we notice that Jesus left the crowd and began to teach the disciples privately. He asked them about their dull hearing. Today, we might well be asked the same question concerning the way that we hear God's Word. When it is pointed out in direct terms that we have been in violation of Scripture, is our hearing dull simply because we don't want to hear the truth? Or will we be able to accept the truth and sharpen our spiritual senses to the point of obedience? Next, we see the analogy of the Lord's short and simple message, that of vicarious sinning, as well as sinning with the use of our fleshly, physical nature. But brothers and sisters, may we all get the point that He's given us here, that all of our sinning originates in thought, out of the heart. All of these things that we've read here will cause us to lose our souls and be cast into everlasting damnation. These evils come from inside of us and defile the spiritual part of man. Now let's turn to another passage. Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. Jesus said to His disciples, "Things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come." Did you hear the words of Jesus? Things that cause you and I to sin are going to come, no doubt. But He says, woe to the person who causes it. So then, whatever immodesty is, and we will truly define it, it's going to cause someone to sin, but woe, and that means calamity, is going to overtake the person who causes it. Why do you suppose our Lord was so adamant on this point? Could it be that He said this to motivate us in a direction to try and keep people from sinning rather than maybe cause people to sin? I think so. Now turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 14 and verse 21. Paul said, "It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to fall." The Apostle Paul is echoing the words of Jesus in this passage. I want you to notice just what he said. He said, "Or do anything else that will cause your brother to fall." All of us are aware of this passage when it speaks of other things, such as social drink or whatever. But in applying this to modesty, it becomes somewhat unpopular. But, beloved, it fits, and we must act when we become knowledgeable regarding whatever it is that we do that causes another to sin. I would hope that you would point out to me any weakness that would cause you to stumble or fall. I'll do my best to overcome whatever it is. And this, I believe, is the attitude that each and every one of us as Christians must have. Next, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and verse 13. Paul says, "Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again so that I will not cause him to fall." Paul again is strengthening what he just said. If it causes sin, don't do it. Paul said that he would never eat meat again in order to save his brother or sister. Is this not the type of attitude that all of us must have? I know that it is. Turn again with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22. Solomon said, "Like a gold ring and a pig snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion." Why does Solomon say these words? Because it's true. Picture in your mind, if you will, a pig with a gold ring in its snout. This is the picture of an old sow that wallows in the mud and filth with a beautiful gold ring in its nose. It's out of character. God has placed and blessed many women with physical beauty, and when He does, He places upon them a greater responsibility to be careful about the dress and appearance, as we'll see in a few minutes. Her appearance may very well cause some man to sin and will bring about the woe spoken of by Christ, as we read a few minutes ago. Ladies, please don't be like the old sow that wallows in the mud and filth with a gold ring in her nose. It just takes away from the physical beauty that God has given you. We should all, men and women alike, be just as the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now notice his choice of words: true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. These words conjure up ideas and imaginations in the hearts of people that cannot be misunderstood. For example, We know that truth is based upon God's Word. So, whatever we find there, we must mold our lives to fit. Same thing for what's right. Pure is another word that must fit each and every Christian, man or woman. And ladies, it may cause a problem for some men if you wear such things as to cause sin to enter their minds. Lovely is a beautiful word. God has given physical beauty in all of His handiwork. But we must not go beyond and try and cause ourselves to be lovely. God has already done it for us. Do you think that the painting of the face and the wearing of apparel which accentuates the various body parts that are sensual could be termed admirable? Could it be called excellent or praiseworthy? We must conform to these things. Now, with this foundation, let's get to the meat of our lesson. And beloved, if these things make you uncomfortable, please be assured that it is not so intended. But it is given strictly in love and concern for the church everywhere that God might be praised. Clothing is a symbol of the character of an individual. When you see someone as dirty in dress, they have old clothes and may not have bathed in some time, what do you think about him? You don't have to tell me because I think the same thing. He may not have the best of clothes, but everyone can be clean and take a bath. Next, what do you think of someone who's dressed to the hilt with hundreds of dollars invested in his clothing? Many times we are intimidated. Why, I don't know. But my point is, clothing is a symbol of character, the type of person we are. If we dress in such a way that says to others that we don't care what anyone else says, this is the real me and it's immodest, then we're wrong and we need a change of attitude. Now let's try and determine what types of clothing might be determined to be immodest. First, at the beginning of every spring, you can see the little girls, the teenage girls, young ladies, middle-aged ladies, and even elderly ladies putting on their shorts. This is accepted today by the world. But I ask you, does God accept this? Let's remember that He said that if anything causes a brother to sin, that it was to be considered wrong. I don't know any other way to put it other than that. These shorts are immodest, regardless of if they're short shorts or not. Don't be guilty of this sin, sisters. We're going to show you in another part of our lesson just why that this is true. Most worldly men cannot wait for the beginning of the spring season to begin simply because of this principle. Now, what about bathing suits? Is the one-piece suit more modest than the bikini? The answer is 1,000 times no. We're not interested in what's more modest because we're not talking in relative terms. We're interested in what's modest, not what's more modest than something else. I'll tell you what. There may come a day when the world doesn't wear anything. Are we as Christians going along with that? I hope not. And if the day does come, I pray for the Lord to hasten His return. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9. I also want women to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. Now get this, beloved. Let's understand the Scriptures. Paul said that he wanted, and if Paul wanted it, you can rest assured that Christ and God wants it too, for women to dress modestly. We've already covered what modesty is, and there was no direct command that said, thou shalt not wear shorts, or thou shalt not wear bathing suits, or thou shalt not wear pants. He just simply and plainly said that He wants you to dress modestly. And sisters, if there's a question at all regarding dress, don't wear it. I'm aware that there are questions regarding the wearing of slacks for women. And I'm also aware that most Christian women do this. But for what reason would our preachers of old have taught women for years and years not to participate in the wearing of slacks and pants? This is the question that I would like for you to consider. First, let's go to the Bible and see if we can determine the truth regarding this very critical issue. In Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5, it says, a woman must not wear men's clothing, nor a man wear women's clothing. For the Lord your God detests anyone who does this. Granted, this is in the Old Testament, And I'm sure that you are aware that we live under the laws of the New Testament and under the grace of God. But if you'll notice the principle here, it says that God detests this. The King James Version says that it is an abomination to God, anyone who does this. Now, some say that times and customs have changed, and they're right, they have. But they will never change to accommodate sin and be acceptable to God. What do we mean? Ladies and gentlemen, the wearing of slacks and pants for women show more of the female form than any other type of clothing. If for no other reason than this, it is wrong. Why, you ask? Because it causes lust in men. And I know that your motive as a Christian lady is not to do this. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 25, we read, "If you make an altar of stones for me, do not build it with dressed stones, for you will defile it if you use a tool on it. And do not go up to my altar on steps, lest your nakedness be exposed on it." I want to bring your attention to the fact that men could not expose their nakedness by simply walking up the steps of the altar. Now, if men should maintain modesty in this manner, how much more for women? I ask you, can conscience rule in the case of wearing apparel? I think only to the extent that we try and go in the direction of modesty and not immodesty. Low-cut blouses are not to be worn by Christian women, and I think that you know that already. But since we're teaching on this subject, we need to touch all bases. Short dresses, which uncover the nakedness, are just as wrong today as it was in the Old and New Testaments. While I'm on this subject, let me say that I have never found anything in the Old Testament that was an abomination to God that was allowed in the New Testament. Men have a responsibility too. The wearing of tight-fitting clothes are wrong and must be cautioned against. The human body in the Bible is sacred. That's why God covered Adam and Eve in the beginning. He wasn't satisfied with their attempt at hiding their nakedness. They used fig leaves. He made them coats of skin. Their attempt at hiding sin was enough. He shed blood in order to cover their sin. Now we have the blood of Christ to cover sins. Let's look at dress another way. When wearing a beautiful dress, you feel confident. When dressing like a clown, you feel like a clown. When you dress modest, you are modest. When you dress immodest, you'll be immodest in other areas of your life too. When we dress appealing to men, your attitude and behavior will be flirtatious and enticing. Let me give you a working definition of modesty. If you have a pencil, you may want to write this down. Modesty is defined as observing conventional standards of proper dress and behavior, free from coarseness or indecency, chaste in thought and conduct. If your taste in clothing can claim these standards, then you do dress modestly. You ask the question, why should we dress modestly? And that's a good one. In order to understand how to obey God, many times we must understand why. I know that's important. I'll try and answer this question. First of all, it keeps one pure from causing sin and lust. Turn with me to James chapter 1, beginning in the 13th verse. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Ladies, you can cause men to sin by creating lust within him. Again, I know that you do not want to do that. So it is important the type of clothing that you wear. However, I do not wish to take responsibility away from men. As James said, it is by his own evil desire that he's dragged away and enticed, and when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death, spiritual death, cut off from God. So there it is, a double responsibility on men and on women. Another important point to consider is that we dress in a modest fashion in order to avoid temptation. Look at 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. These scriptures were not put here to fill space. They are to be observed. Ladies, how would you like to be a temptation to a man? If you dressed him modestly, that's exactly what you are. Men, how would you like to face this type of temptation from a sister? We must react as Christians every time. We all understand that women can tempt men. Look at the story of David and Bathsheba. Her temptation to David caused the murder of her husband, Uriah. Next point for consideration. Do men, Christian men, think wrong things of women? First, let me say that it is unreasonable not to expect it. This comes from immodesty every time. Well, I'm sure that a woman could be dressed in a moderate fashion, and some carnally minded man would look upon her with lust in his heart. But that's the exception and not the rule. There's an old adage that fits here. If the devil knocks on my door, I cannot help it. If he comes in and I give him a chair, I'm encouraging him. Another point of interest here is that women seem to think that men don't think anything today. This is the 20th century. Sisters, I don't care if this is the 50th century. We must maintain modesty even when the world does not. There's definite proof that men are caused to sin by the immodesty of women. First, there are many authorities that will tell you that this is the truth. One police chief in Houston, Texas, said that rape and murder of women always go on the rise from April to September. This is the spring, summer, and fall months, the very time that wearing of shorts and bathing suits are at their peak. And then again, fashionable dresses are designed to attract the glances of men. There's just no doubt about it. If you have any doubts about the wearing of any of your clothes, don't do it. The advertisers get into the act with his advertising that's designed to attract the male buyer. Then we can see in cartoons that in many instances they depict real life situations. Clothes are the reason for many of the criminal assaults. These attacks may be provoked by scantily clad females. What is the answer? Let's turn, please, to 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9. Paul said, I want women to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes. Where should Christians place the emphasis on the wearing of clothes? First of all, it must be placed on the right personality of the Christians and the right attitudes. What is personality? It's the totality of an individual's behavior and emotional tendencies in the organization of the individual's distinguishing character, traits, attitudes, or habits. The emphasis should be placed then on the personality. What type of person am I? Can what I wear be called Christian? The clothing of the Christian woman is also described by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 3 and verse 3. Your beauty should not come from outward adornments such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Can we all see the simplicity and beauty of the Christian woman? Can we all see the responsibility here for the right type of leadership of women? Robert E. Lee once said, as the women go, so goes the world, and I believe that. We've seen so much transition of these things in the last 25 years that it's appalling. I know that my grandmother could hardly stand to see her grandchildren wear what she must have thought was the attire of harlots. The change was staggering. Sometimes just get out the pictures of your grandmother and see what she wore and compare it with what's being accepted today, and you'll see what we're talking about. We're following the world, folks. Let's wake up. There's a quotation that I wish to give you. I don't know where it come from, but here it is. Search the pages of the Bible, and all you will. Study history all you please, and you'll find one truth that stands out above others. What is that truth? That the spiritual life of a nation, city, town, school, church, or home never rises any higher than the spiritual life of women. When women sag morally and spiritually, then men sag morally and spiritually. The degeneracy of womanhood helps the decay of manhood. We've considered why women should not wear shorts, low-neck dresses, sweaters and skirts that are too tight, swimsuits, short skirts and dresses or slacks or pants, and too much makeup. I didn't relate this to you, but I'll do it now. The only woman in the Bible who wore makeup was Jezebel, and she wore it only to entice the man who was coming to kill her. It didn't work. She died a horrible death, and dogs came and ate her bones. The reason for not wearing these types of adornment are as follows. Number one, it causes men to lust, and women sin by causing lust. Number two, it's immodest, thus it's unscriptural. Number three, women place temptation before men by wearing these things. Number four, men do have improper thoughts because of these. Number five, women often don't realize the danger. Number six, proof from quotes, fashion, advertising, and cartoons. Number seven, it causes an increase in criminal assault. Number eight, the right emphasis for Christian women has been shown. In concluding, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 31 and read verses 10 through 31. A wife of noble character who can find, she is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it out of her earnings, and she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household. All of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praises at the city gate. Now let's examine Solomon's description of the perfect housewife. Before we do, I want you to know that the first letter in each word is a descending letter in the Hebrew alphabet. I thought that was interesting, and I just wanted to throw that in. Let's notice, number one, she has noble character. Number two, the confidence of her husband. Number three, she has the good of her husband in mind. Number four, she is eager to work at home. Number five, she sees that the family meals are on the table. Number six, she takes care of the bills along with her husband. Number seven, her work is performed vigorously. Number eight, she stays up late at night to perform her tasks. Number nine, she makes clothing for the family. Number ten, she's hospitable. Number 11, she is competent. Number 12, she is modestly clothed. Number 13, her husband is respected because of her, not in spite of her. Number 14, she's faithful and wise. Number 15, her family comes first. Number 16, she's called blessed by her children and her husband. 17, she is noble. 18, she fears the Lord. Number 19, she's to be rewarded for her works. And number 20, her works praise her. This is truly a virtuous woman. This is the emphasis to place our priorities. The Christian is to fight fleshly desires. In 1 Peter 2:11, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. We're in a battle, brothers and sisters, each and every one of us. We must abstain from sinful fleshly lusts, because they're going to do nothing but cause us to lose the battle for the soul and be lost in hell. These fleshly desires are seen in word, thought, and deed. In Ephesians 5:3, Paul says, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Also in the 12th verse, he says, it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. What could a hint of sexual immorality be? Could it be that we might not be guilty of committing sexual immorality physically, but maybe we are causing lust by the way we dress? This shows that men have improper thoughts. It places a responsibility on both men and women. In 1 Corinthians 6:15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I take then the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. When we violate Scripture, we must pay the penalty. There are no exceptions to this rule. We must not dress in any way that would cause anyone to think we are anything but Christians. We must train our children in our homes and in the church The real emphasis today is the need for parental examples that wield the real Christian influence. In the book of Acts, Paul recounts a time when he went to Ephesus and he found the people practicing something that was against God's word. Let's see what they did to get rid of it. Acts 19 and 19. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. Now these people were converted because they feared the Lord and wanted to do what was right. They didn't just go out and sell the books at a garage sale. They didn't just go out and give them to someone else so they could sin. They burned them up and they were really valuable. Is this a lesson that we can learn? I think so. One woman who was so convicted about the wearing of modest apparel took everything she had that she considered immodest, gathered her two girls, one boy and her husband. They all went outside and she burned them right there in front of God and everybody. Brothers and sisters, this is the right response. I know that right now you're saying, is that the right response? You're questioning what has been taught today. And if you wait long enough, you'll talk yourself right out of doing what's right about the matter. I knew another woman who was very industrious, like the lady in Proverbs 31. She took all of her immodest clothing and tore them up and made a quilt out of it. Just think about how clear your conscience will be should this be your decision. But don't just get rid of them today and go right out and buy some more tomorrow. That doesn't do any good. In fact, it does more harm. Now that the knowledge of God's word has been instilled in your mind, you'll never be the same should you go backwards. Let's all pray about these things. Let's get right with God. This is the only way that we're going to win our children back. They see our double standards. One last thing, and we'll close. If you can wear pants, bathing suits, and shorts, and other immodest clothing in public, then you can wear the same thing to the meeting house. It's just that simple. God wants no double standards in His people.